the way to truly honor Bebe and his legacy was to go out there and win.
In a diving effort worthy of a wide receiver.
Am I worried about losing the locker room? I always am worried about losing the locker room when you're 2-0 whatever we are.
With the defense playing the way that they're playing, if the offense can get it rolling, we're going to be a tough team to beat.
I've been feeling like I'm in the sky. Is it a bird or a plane? I can fly. Yeah.
We've been living up to it. We hit, we don't take hits.
And Lamar Jackson appears to be shaken up. He's limping badly. Huntley has to quickly don a helmet.
We're confident in all of our players. If we were confident in him, he would not be on this team.
Shy of the first down, and the comeback will come up short.
You got that ball in your hands. What went through your mind?
Go.
After review, it is a touchdown. The game is over.
We all know what Aaron Rodgers said at Soldier Field. What does this game say now?
What can you say? He's right. I love playing with 12. He's a special player.
He's Jalen Rose. I'm David Jacoby. We are Jalen and Jacoby. Go. What is it that we do? We are one Monday night matchup from week 14 being in the books, and it was exciting yesterday. We will start where the football ended in the Sunday night game between the Bears and the Packers. Aaron Rodgers declared that he owns the Bears last time, and he proved it last night. What do you think about Aaron Rodgers?
Aaron Rodgers looking at that MVP trophy along with Tom Brady and Kyler Murray. I'm loving the way the NFC is shaping up. And also, Devontae Adams finding pay dirt twice. In particular, I love the touchdown, his second one, that they got him in the red zone. That's beautiful execution by an elite quarterback and arguably the best receiver in the game. Like, the Packers are hitting on all cylinders. And I know they were playing the Bears without Khalil Mack, and he owns them and has owned them his career. However, still very impressive. 1, 2, 3, 4 touchdown passes. Aaron Rodgers playing like the MVP. And the Green Bay Packers playing like a serious championship contender.
Jalen, I've hinted at this before, but now I'm convinced. Aaron Rodgers is going to stay in Green Bay after this season. Like, they are just too successful. Like, I don't see another landing spot for him where he will be happier. And Chris and Al kind of hinted at it last night when they said they spoke to him and they don't want to break any news. But I am convinced that Aaron Rodgers will be the starting quarterback for the Packers next year. What do you think?
I'm rolling with you on that. Unless he decide to go to the Lions. But in all honesty, like, when you look at the offseason landscape, Russell Wilson was back throwing moon balls to Lockett, but we still don't know if he's going to be there long term. It's a lot of quarterback questions around the league, but I agree with you. Like, this is a terrific situation for Aaron Rodgers, a young head coach that's really innovative. He has a really talented team around him. He has one of the best receivers in the league. He has a terrific defense. He quarterbacked in a division that he flat out owns. He said it going to the game. He didn't apologize about it. Like, when you start moving around, the dynamics change. So I agree with you. He's been there for so very long, and they're doing so very well. I would not be surprised if he stayed after this season.
Now, there's not much to celebrate if you are a Bears fan. However, a couple great special teams plays. I love a run back, and the Bears put up a couple good ones.
Absolutely. And here's the thing. When I'm watching football on Sunday, this is what's missing. That's why I wanted to make sure I see this. Kick returns, punt returns, onside returns. I love that. Just a different dynamic of like, it's three phases of the game. And so when they started to change the rules, you see less of it now. But the Bears did a good job of trying to allow their special teams to keep them in the game.
Moving to the Mafia. Bills Mafia took to the road to play the defending champion, Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And it didn't start good. Did not start good for the Bills. They were down 24-3. However, after a furious comeback, they got to overtime. And then Tom Brady just did his Tom Brady thing, marched them all the way down the field. And then this final play got the Bucs the win. Jalen, I am a little concerned as a Bills fan, not just because they got this loss and the way they lost last week was tough, but Josh Allen was banged up in this one. What do you think about the Bucs and the Bills?
We got to get our Bills senior correspondent Benny the Butcher back on. West Side Gun, Conway the Machine. I need to figure out something. David Jacoby, a member of Bills Mafia. I gotta tell you guys something. The Bills ain't playing like a contender. Like, the only two contenders I kind of see in the AFC are the Chiefs, who are head and shoulders are better than everybody else right now to me, and the Patriots. Like, I'm really disappointed in your Buffalo Bills. Of course, I want to celebrate my guy Tom Brady. I wish we would have that Michigan theme music playing right now, because don't we got a college football playoff game coming up right now? And isn't the GOAT a Michigan Wolverine? I'm just saying. So Godwin, right? Perriman with the game-winning touchdown in overtime. I want to make sure I celebrate them. But how about this person? Leonard Fournette.
Mm-hmm.
So let's get this right now. You got Tom Brady spraying the football around to everybody. Gronk still making plays. And now you can turn around and hand it off to this power back and Leonard Fournette, who's also catching out of the backfield. Like, the way they've built out this offense has been truly explosive. They were so very dynamic against your Buffalo Bills and your Bills with Josh Allen, who was balling. Not Josh Allen was balling.
They're running.
Josh Allen was balling. You know that's my fantasy quarterback. That's my quarterback. And him and Devontae Adams helped me win this week. But, man, throwing, running, power running. Like I tell you, like, he's a football player that just happens to play quarterback. And that's why he ended up probably at the press conference with a walking boot, but he left it all out there.
Yeah, he was injured in the second half, but he had a couple of long runs after that, so hopefully he will be back and available to play in the Bills' next game, because they're definitely going to need him down the stretch. They are barely holding on to a playoff spot as it is right now. Mr. Rose, you mentioned something that I agree with. I'm 100% convinced AFC is over. It's the Chiefs again. The AFC's there. Stop the fight. It's over. It was cute when they were turning the ball over and losing some games, and we were all, what's wrong with the Chiefs? Well, guess what? Nothing is wrong with the Chiefs. Raiders held a little team meeting on the logo before the game, something that they probably regret because they got waxed by the Chiefs. The Chiefs are the most complete team in the AFC, and they are going to win the AFC. I'm convinced of that.
I got to always remind myself that these aren't the Raiders that I grew up loving, like that Ice Cube was representing to the fullest, right? These aren't the Raiders that still are in Oakland. These are the Las Vegas Raiders. So let me get this right. Y'all playing against the Kansas City Chiefs, who got a generational quarterback in Patrick Mahomes. Andy Reid is their coach. They got Tyreek Hill. They got Travis Kelce. They got Tyrann Mathieu playing defense. They got Super Bowl pedigree. And y'all got the nerve to think that y'all gonna stand on their logo? Like I know that this is a rivalry and all of that, but y'all know this wasn't the first time this year y'all played. They waxed y'all the first time, and so now y'all do this going into the second game, y'all get waxed. And our producer Demetrius is a Raiders fan. Like, he came to this show today in the fetal position, and rightfully so. Like, the Raiders don't deserve Oakland. That's what I took from this football game.
Well, I took that the Chiefs are head and shoulders above every single team in the AFC, including the Patriots, including the Bills, including obviously now with Lamar Jackson's injury, the Ravens, the Titans, even if they get Henry back. This is the Chiefs conference once again, and whatever problems they had in the past are over because of their defense, Jalen. They used to just outscore teams, but now they stop teams and outscore teams and turn you over. If you look at what this defense has done in the past, like, 5 or 6 weeks, they have completely changed the way that teams prepare for them and everything that happens on the field. And it's great to see the Honey Badger back causing problems.
Absolutely.
Bad weather is back.
My
Remember I called
God.
Them bad weather last year because they'll ruin your plans? Bad weather is back in Arrowhead, and this team is going to be the number one seed in the AFC, and they're going to win the whole thing. Look at these numbers, Jalen. What do these numbers tell you about
these
how the Chiefs have changed?
These numbers tell me that we're going to talk a lot about their offense because of how dynamic it is. But this is what gets them their second Super Bowl with Patrick Mahomes, that defense right there. The way they've been playing, opportunistic, physical, turning defensive miscues of turning miscues of the other team into points going the other way. I agree with you, family. Like, the AFC is theirs. I don't want to overlook the Patriots. They are, playing with a rookie quarterback, and a rookie quarterback has never won a Super Bowl. But man, I tell you, Kansas City Chiefs look like definitely the best team in AFC.
Jalen, time to turn our attention to the National Basketball Association. And when we talk about the Nets, we always talk about what the Nets aren't. We always criticize the Nets and talk about James Harden's performance. Kevin Durant put up 51. This team has the best record in the Eastern Conference. What do you think about the dynamic KD tearing your Pistons apart?
This is what I think, right? You know, I wasn't adopted into this NBA family. I was born into it. And so, you know, I appreciate all-time greatness. And there's a reason I called him Iceberg Slim, shooting trays from the suburbs. George Gervin, Detroit native, one of the smoothest scorers that the NBA has ever seen. That's how much I respect KD, right? So a Sunday night in Detroit, playing against one of the worst teams in the NBA.
The worst.
This is how you come out and ball and put on the show. Like throwbacks to when Detroit was playing downtown and people were showing up with their fur coats down to the floor and Leon the Barber was in the stands. Like, this is, like, I'm disappointed I wasn't at the game. See, I was traveling yesterday and I was gonna go to the game because I wanted to see this. An all-time great scorer, like, put on an amazing show. Efficient, effective in all phases. So when we start talking about, like, all-time great players, and we had this conversation on Countdown, and we was talking about the ascension of Steph Curry. And I'm like, when we talking about all-time great players now, my top five, you know who they are. But I can't think that Steph Curry is gonna leapfrog players like a Kobe or Bird or Tim Duncan. And then I was like, wait a minute, is he ahead of KD? And then the answer was no to me. Is he ahead of LeBron? Clearly the answer is no. Kevin Durant scored 51 points in downtown Detroit last night. An epic performance. So I salute Easy Money Sniper for putting on a throwback kind of show.
It was a great game, and again, I'll say it. The Nets are the number one team in the Eastern Conference standings right now. It seems like people forget that. Oh, we always talk about, where's Kyrie? James Harden didn't play last night. What about the veterans that they have, you know, like the Blake Griffins and the LaMarcus Aldridges? Well, guess what? They have the best record, and Kevin Durant just put up 51 on the Pistons. Jalen, also in action were the Nets of the Western Conference. Star-laden team, maybe a little older. However, this team, the Lakers, are not number one. We'll discuss right after this. Coming to you live from the Seaport, brought to you by Chase. Welcome back to Jalen and Jacoby. Jalen Rose will continue to wrap up week 14 action in the NFL, but let's turn our attention to another game in the NBA. This time it was the Lakers, the much criticized Los Angeles Lakers, playing the Orlando Magic and doing what they need to do, led by LeBron James, 30-point triple-double.
LeBron James is going to need to do a lot of heavy lifting during the regular season. Anytime Anthony Davis has struggled the way he struggled, not only to stay healthy recently, I'm rooting for the big fella to get back out there, but also the way he was struggling shooting from the perimeter, it's gonna now require LeBron James, Jacoby, to play heavier minutes during the regular season. Be a lot more productive during the regular season, because he knows what you and I know. If they fall below the equator, and I'm calling that the fourth spot, they ain't getting to the Western Conference Finals. So it's still great to get a chance to enjoy LeBron James playing basketball, because he is one of the best to do it. Injuries are gonna decide this conference. Kawhi's out at the fifth spot. What's gonna happen with Luka, who's dealing with some injury right now with the Mavs? Jamal Murray and Michael Porter Jr. The Timberwolves, I like their young big three. And so, like, that, they could go either way. That the Western Conference, like the only teams that really have established themselves are like the top four to me.
The top three to me.
The Clippers can still go either way.
I have the Lakers in that number four spot. You always talk about if the Lakers are the number five or below, they're not even contending to win the championship. I have it just like it was. Suns and Warriors, one and two. And then you've got the Jazz, and then it's the Lakers. I don't think that the Grizzlies or the Clippers or the Nuggets are going to overtake the Lakers. I have the Lakers as the four spot. And you know what? I'm not panicking. It was all fun last week when we're all criticizing the Lakers and AD and this and that. They have LeBron James who just put up a 30-point triple-double. I'm not panicking. They're going to figure it out. They're going to get up to that number four spot, host a game one in round one, and then have a great playoff run if they're healthy. Not panicking whatsoever as someone who loves LeBron James.
I ain't mad at you. I'll be out there on Christmas Day. So I ain't mad at what you're saying, but they're going to need a dominant AD. Like, and I got a chance to talk to the big fella about this. He took pride in playing in the preseason and trying to play as many games as possible throughout the regular season. They're going to need him to log those minutes.
Jalen, the Lakers are without AD. Unfortunately, it looks like the Ravens are going to be without Lamar Jackson for an extended amount of time. It was ankle injury, carted off in a boot after the game. This was a big win for the Browns, but however, this to me, depending on how long Lamar's out, might have just ended the Ravens' title hopes.
Lamar Jackson and Kyler Murray like just changed the way I looked at the game. It's like those two quarterbacks, you play like four down football with them, right? And so the Ravens have dealt with injuries the entire season. It started off in their backfield, then it transformed to their defense and their defensive backfield. And I said a couple of weeks ago to you, like they were, I believe, 8-4, 7-4. I was like, that isn't the record of a contending team because it's just too many injuries. And then Lamar gets injured, and you're going against a Browns team who's actually not out of the playoff picture just yet.
No.
Myles Garrett is still defensively being dominant. He was able to get a touchdown in yesterday's game. And so my guy, Detroit representative on the offense, playing alongside Baker Mayfield. Play that right there again, please. Because I want to represent my guy, Billy Paul, as Baker Mayfield is in the pocket. He wasn't able to connect with Odell when he was in town, but you see who he's connected with now, my guy.
Right
there. People's Jones. People's Jones. And so now the Browns are gonna make my guy CJ McCollum a little happy as he's getting prepared for his rehabilitation because his Browns are still in playoff contention after a win against the Ravens.
Well, that division is very much up for grabs, and the NFC East, not so much. The Washington football team hosted the Cowboys, and the Washington football team's defense, not their star-studded offense, won them this game against a guy named Kyle Allen.
Parsons.
It was the Cowboys defense, obviously. My mistake.
Parsons. That front four. And he's a rookie. Like, Parsons is a rookie. I believe he got 13 sacks already. Like, so many times with the Cowboys over the last few years, when we talked about their team, it was only about their offensive skill positions. Now with the emergence of Parsons as a rookie and Diggs, who, by the way, did you see the touchdown catch over Diggs? Incredible in the end zone by the Washington football team. And so your guy Heinicke, this was a frozen rope, the one that he threw for a touchdown. But the Dallas defense, again, their front four in particular, the pressure they was putting on the entire game, it makes me like look at the NFC and I'm like, okay, the Packers, the Cardinals, they've established themselves, right? The Cowboys should be in that mix. What's going to happen with the Rams? They should be in the mix. The Buccaneers, of course, with Tom Brady. So it seems to be more contending teams in the NFC, while in the AFC, the Chiefs, to me, have established themselves firmly as the best team.
Yeah, it was Gregory and Lawrence and Parsons. That line is really solid. However, when you talk about the teams in the NFC and you treat the Cowboys like a contender, they need more from Dak. They need more from Ezekiel Elliott. This wasn't a great game from either of those players. It was the defense that got them this win. But for them to be considered with the Packers and the Cardinals and the Bucks, I need to see more from Dak and Zeke. Well, we will see those Cardinals this evening as they take on the Rams in what is going to be a great Monday night matchup. We'll get you ready for it right after this. NBA on ESPN doubleheader Wednesday night starting at 7:30 with the Lakers taking on the Mavs, and then in the nightcap at 10 p.m. it is the Clippers taking on the Jazz. That rhymed. Welcome back to Jalen and Jacoby. Jalen, I know you love Jared Montana on your Lions, but you spent so many years rooting for tonight's quarterback of the Los Angeles Rams, Matt Stafford. He goes up against another one of your favorite quarterbacks, Kyler Murray. What do you expect in this big NFC matchup Monday night?
Cooper Kupp being open, rinse and repeat. Nobody can cover that guy this year. He's been incredible. And you're right. It's good to see Matthew Stafford in these big games, these big moments, the opportunity to get it to Odell Beckham Jr., who's filling in the best he can for Robert Woods. You know I always enjoy watching Jalen Ramsey and Aaron Donald play. And so my guy on the other side, Kyler Pesci Murray. So Jalen, why do you call him that? Because he's the smallest, most vicious guy in the room. You know what I'm saying? When you get out of line, you get whacked. Everybody knows the rules. And so my guy, Kyler, I anticipate he's also gonna put on the show tonight. This is must-see TV. I'm making popcorn on the stove, baby. Drawn butter, little Cajun, a little, but sprinkle a little Lowry's on there. This is going to be a big game, baby.
It's a lot of seasoning, Cajun and Lowry's. I want some of that popcorn. We'll be back tomorrow to talk about that game and much more. ESPN 2, 4 p.m.
Boss up, always.
We always say we get the people they want. Part of that is doing podcast exclusive content for our podcast listeners. Jalen, there's a couple things I want to discuss with you. I really need to discuss with you.
What up, though?
Number one, Zion Williamson. This ain't good. This is bad. He's now missed more games than he's played in his NBA career. He got foot surgery, didn't tell the team, got foot surgery in the offseason. Rehab setback. Another setback. Jalen, former number one pick, Zion Williamson. Do you think the Pelicans regret selecting Zion Williamson number one?
No, not at all. Because he's a franchise-altering player that averaged over 25 points on 60% shooting in his very brief career. He's a bull in the china shop. He had a great handle. I love his personality as a teammate and as an ambassador of the game. Like, I think he has superstar qualities, to be honest with you. So based on that, there's no regret. When you look at Ja Morant and what he's done, in particular with Memphis, and how he helped lead them to the playoffs, and shout to Taylor Jenkins. If you want to win a bet with casuals that follow the NBA, when you ask them about the Western Conference, tell them to name the Memphis Grizzlies head coach that has done a terrific job these last couple of years, in particular this year without Ja Morant, developing players like Bane. Good to see Jaren Jackson Jr. playing well. Dylan Brooks,
you know, first of all, if you ask someone who the Memphis Grizzlies coach is and they do know it's Taylor Jenkins, then just ask them if Taylor Jenkins is black. Because he sounds black, but he's not. Every time, I'm like, it's Taylor Jenkins. When I first saw him, I was like, that's Taylor Jenkins? Okay.
Like Roscoe Jenkins and Martin Lawrence. And so, like, you don't regret taking a player like Zion. The thing, however, that you worry is not a surprise that he's injury prone. That happened in high school. It happened in college. That happened when he first got to the league in summer league.
Yeah.
It's plagued his career. And when I say what I'm about to say, it's not like to body shame, But he's a professional athlete, and it's my job to like analyze the totality of a player. And what I'm here to tell you is a guy like Jokic, Draymond Green, Kevin Love stand out right off the top of my mind of players that played up front that dramatically changed their bodies in order to have successful, productive careers. And at Zion's weight, I've been saying this since he was in college. Like, we haven't seen a 280-pound, and that's when allegedly he's at the draft. Now the word is possibly he's up over 300. And so your body at 6'8", 6'9", and that mass with his explosiveness, like he's one of the most explosive players that we've seen, like playing above the rim, catching lobs, running the floor. Like he's an explosive athlete. And so just like the Einstein E equals MC squared, like he just breaks the formula. And so the only way to try to amend that and to fix that is he got to drop a lot of weight to take pressure off his lower extremities, to take pressure off his knees, take pressure off his Achilles and his feet. And so I don't believe he plays this year.
And so let me rephrase the question, because I don't think, when I said regret, like if I was running the Pelicans, I would have taken Zion number one 100 times out of 100, right? So it's not like they made a bad decision. But at this point, would you be rushing to give Zion a max extension? I'm not sure that I'd be willing to lock up $150 million of salary on someone who's never available to play basketball for me.
So I was talking about this on Countdown with Greeny, Wilbon, and Stephen A. Jacoby, and it's
look great,
based
by the
on
way.
The
great,
franchise.
Great look from you in Philly. Great look. Love
Thank
that
you,
look.
Family. I appreciate that. Shout to Gucci. He was in the building. So like each franchise has to view this different. And as I think more about this, I want to make sure I modify what I said. Based on your question, because now your question actually made me think about what I really want to reason here with Zion and the Pelicans. If you're the Pelicans, you do anything you can to keep Zion in uniform, hurt or not, kind of like Philly and Joel Embiid. That's what you do.
Mm-hmm.
You know what you're getting into. You know he's not going to play 82, but you know his potential. That's what you do. You treat Zion like Philly treats Joel Embiid. Because if you don't pay Zion and you lose Zion, the franchise might as well go to Seattle.
Where are you going to spend the $150 million that you would have had locked up with Zion? You know what I mean? Or whatever the number is. Like, they're pot committed. It's like being pot committed in a poker game. It's like you've kind of already invested so much that to lose now, you might as well just go all in. Because if you let Zion walk or trade Zion or whatever the other option is besides paying him, like, who are you going to replace that player with? What's your roster going to look like? Even with but they're also not Zion Williamson away from being playoff contenders either. Like, this team has really underperformed, and hopefully they can get it right. Because with Zion, do you think this team is a playoff team, not a play-in team?
Potentially. Because the West has so many injuries. Murray, Kawhi, for their respective teams, the Clippers and Denver. Going deeper into the box score, it's like those like 7 through 11, 12 spots in the West are going to be up for grabs. What's going to happen with CJ McCollum? He's another guy that's dealing with injury. In Portland, the team has been in the playoffs every year. Ja Morant has dealt with some injuries for Memphis. So I believe a healthy Zion with a healthy Ingram does, and it should make you a play-in caliber team.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't believe Zion is gonna be ready to play based on the fact that I think he should shed some pounds before he returns to take pressure off his lower extremities.
So you said something interesting. You said you don't think he's going to play this season. That's a long time. Like, the season's going to end in like 4 months.
How long does it take to lose weight?
Well, depends. The problem is,
boxer or MMA fighter getting ready for, you know, the scale, there's certain methods they do. I remember my guy James Toney, shout to Jackie McCullum, his manager at the time, fellow Ann Arbor and Michigander. James Toney lights out, one of the smoothest slide fighters that we've seen. He was going into that fight with Roy Jones, and he did some dire things to drop weight. He was fatigued in the fight. He lost the fight. And I think it dramatically changed his career arc. Well, by the way, we have some historic dice games, by the way. That's my guy. I love him. Rest in peace, Ceno, too.
Well, I would say that the formula for losing weight is diet and exercise, right? And the problem with him is he's got a foot problem. So the exercise part, he can't, like, go full bore at. And the diet part, he really needs to focus on. But we'll see. You know, I would love to see Zion back in the league, obviously, because when he plays, he is one of the most exciting athletes in the entire league. But I'm just concerned. I mean, if I'm a Pelicans fan, I'm very concerned about the next 5 years of Zion. But like you mentioned, you made the comparison of him to Embiid in Philly. And I think Philly fans are very happy with Joel Embiid. Jalen, of course, we're not going to talk about this during the television program, so we're going to talk about it during the podcast exclusive. There's some reports about Urban Meyer. There's some reports. It's not about the pint house this time. This time it's about Urban challenging his assistant head coaches, calling them losers essentially, and they have to defend their resume of their winning ways, and getting in an argument with one of the players. He then said that anyone who is a leak or provides this information is fired immediately. Mr. Rose, it hasn't been a great season for the Jaguars and Urban. And they got waxed by the Titans.
And
I don't
believe
think
that
he coaches next year. I don't think he coaches next year.
I believe that player was Marvin Jones Jr., former great Lion. Once caught 4 touchdowns in a game. As we talk about great Detroit Lion history. With that being said, I disagree with you. I feel like if he's not coaching there, he's not coaching anywhere. And he doesn't seem like a guy that doesn't want to coach for one simple reason. He ain't trying to be at the crib every day right now. Not after those allegations early in the season.
Not after the Pine House trip? Not after the trip to the Pine House?
He need to let that blow over like another 12 months or something.
From the Pine House to the Dog House?
Yeah,
well, here's the problem. Exactly. Here's what I was thinking, Jalen. Here's what I was thinking when I was watching the Lions play against the Broncos. I'm like, the Lions might mess around and lose the number one pick. Because one thing about the Lions games, I've been paying attention to Lions games, is they try. Like, they fight. They're not talented, but they fight. And the Jaguars don't. So the Lions have 1 tie, 1 win. Jaguars have 2 wins. Are you a little concerned about sliding in the standings and picking like 3rd, 4th if the Lions rip off a couple wins?
I gotta tell you a secret, family. When your favorite team has won 1 playoff game in 60 years, you don't overreact to having a top pick, because we have a top pick every year.
Every year.
What are you saying?
And at number 1, it's not like last year where it's just Trevor Lawrence sitting there is obviously gonna go number 1.
Yeah, I mean, like, we have a top pick every year. Like, ever. You can Google NFL draft and look down at your phone. We always have a top pick. The problem is we usually pick the wrong player. That's the problem. So I don't care if we have 1 or 5. I just want the best player. I don't care if we have 5 or 15. I just want the best player. That's the problem. Shout to Jeff Okuda. No shots at the fella because I know he's injured. But we needed a quarterback. Everybody knew that. Everybody. Tua, Justin
Tua's
Herbert.
Tua's turned it around.
Anybody.
Everybody turned on Tua earlier this season. Tua's turned it around if you're not paying attention to the Dolphins. They're on a little win
streak.
That's
why I shouted them.
They're playing well. Like, Tua was sitting right there. You wanted the Lions to draft Tua, and I bet the Lions will probably pick a quarterback next year, and it won't work out because that's what the Lions do.
But here's what we ain't going to do. There'll be zero Jared Montana slander on this show. You seen that game-winning drive? He threw it to Dwight Clark in the end zone against the Vikings.
Jalen.
Oh, that's right. That's two different decades.
Let me tell you something, Mr. Rose. The Broncos are not a good football team, right? No one's picking the Broncos to even make the playoffs. The Broncos are not good. The Lions lost to the Broncos by 28 points. So I think you can slander Jared Montana if you want to, because Jared Montana was the quarterback who lost to the Broncos 38-10.
But also, rest in peace, Demaryius Thomas. They were playing with heavy hearts and honored their brother. They lined it up. They lined up with 10 men to honor his passing. And so I knew going into that game that we was going to get waxed. And I welcomed it. I rooted for the Broncos to beat us yesterday for that reason. So rest in peace, DT.
Jalen, you love the TV show Power, right? You love Power. Love Power. Well, I've got my Power, my white version of Power.
Whoa.
Succession. Succession season finale. Whoa, last night, news. Mr. Rose. Succession season finale. I had to step away from the Bears-Packers game for an hour between 9 and 10.
Wow.
Mr. Rose, one of the best hours of television I've ever seen in my entire life. I'm not going to give any spoilers if anyone hasn't seen Succession yet, but I just want everyone that watches Succession that's listening to this podcast just to feel my frustration that we have this platform with hundreds of thousands of people and we can't even discuss one of the most invigorating, exciting, inspiring television experiences I've ever had. You have no idea. You know what, Jalen? Explain the plot to Succession right now.
Oh, easy. Like, growing up, single parent, west side of the D, baby.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? Concrete jungle, crack-infested neighborhoods, surviving the Reagan era, the crack era. Shout out to the BMF series.
Yeah, that's BMF.
As well.
You're talking about, that's BMF. That's not Succession. That's BMF.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I'll tell the story of BMF. That's Succession.
You're getting confused.
No doubt. Big Meech and Southwest T, whatever they did is Succession.
Well, we always say give the people what they want. Part of that is hearing from the people. If you call 985-80-JALEN, you can leave a voicemail. We'll put you on the show. Our voicemails are fueled by Gatorade. Whatever path you take to greatness, Gatorade is there to fuel it. Greatness starts with a G. Let's listen to our first voicemail.
What's up, Jalen and Jacoby? Shout out, Red the Ledge. Hey, I just heard the podcast about the Puma Shoes giveaway. I usually don't pat myself on the back like this, man, but I'm 35. Took me about 30 years to get my life together. I just got out of prison about 2 years ago. I'm on paper still, but I've turned my life completely around, man. I've got a steady job. I'm working. I'm providing for this family that I brought into my life. A beautiful woman who come to my life with two beautiful children. Man, we could. Like the old saying in crafts goes, man, daddy needs a new pair of shoes. You know, I'm working every night, grinding, collecting them checks. If you guys could show a little love to a Missouri boy, let me know what's up, man. Appreciate you guys. Once again, shout out Red the Ledge. Give that man a microphone.
Well, congratulations to that young man turning his life around. I think we're gonna get a lot of voicemails about the Puma shoes, Jalen, so you can decipher exactly who's gonna get your Puma cards this holiday season. But I need to apologize to someone. It's sort of related. I gotta apologize to Michelle, your assistant, because I slandered the JRLADetroit.com merch section. But I think it's my fault, because I ordered a cardigan and I got two beanies and a pair of shorts. And then I looked at my order and was like, oh man, I guess I did order two beanies and a pair of shorts. Whoops. So then I ordered a pair of socks and a cardigan. At least I meant to. All of a sudden I get a package. It's six pairs of socks. I'm like, And I'm like, well, where's the cardigan? Do they even have the cardigan? I'm really excited about the cardigan. And then I get another package, four cardigans. So a couple things happened here. Either number one, y'all are messing up and putting too much product in the package. However, but when last time when I accused the people of the great Jalen Rose Leadership Academy of messing up, when I did the recon, it was really a user error. So I believe what's really happening here is I have no idea how to use your website, and now I've got like a full wardrobe of Jalen Rose Leadership Academy gear, heads and toe, literally heads and toe.
Yes.
I've got a pair of shorts, I've got socks, I've got a beanie, I've got a cardigan, and I've got enough of them, like I'm like Batman. Like, I got more JRLA suits than Batman got bat suits.
Now all we got to do is get you Puma Righteous. When the mellow balls come out, have you head to toe, you're going to be good.
Well,
you're going to be in uniform, baby. Puma and JRLA all day. Now we just got to get you a Jeep.
Yeah, you know some people in my life are definitely going to be rocking some JRLA cardigans because I got four of them. So
you know what I got to do? You know what? You just reminded me of something. Like,
what's up?
I need to do a better job of being a JRLA model. You know what I mean?
What you mean by that?
Yeah, I gotta start repping the gear more often.
Yeah.
You know, I actually was gonna wear the cardigan today. I was like, I'm gonna save it for a Piston or a Michigan game. That's exactly what I told myself. Like, why am I saving it? I can have 150 of those.
So I'm glad you mentioned the Michigan game, right? Because right now it is the 13th, okay? And the game is on the 31st. My son always says this, mathing, 18 days away after my mathing.
Yep.
So in these 18 days, I want you to really enjoy. You know what I mean? Like, really enjoy these 18 days. Because on the 19th day, there might not be another Michigan game coming, right? But let's not even put that energy into the atmosphere. Let's just imagine at the Orange Bowl. Where is that? Miami, right? Michigan Wolverines just run all over Georgia. They take a commanding lead and just dominate. And then they win themselves a spot in the national championship game in your former stomping grounds, Indianapolis. Do you go to the championship game?
Absolutely. I already got four tickets on deck right now and my hotel right now.
Yes.
Right now. I got the hotel.
Yes.
I got lunch reservations at Capitol Grill downtown and everything.
Oh, I'm a St. Elmo's guy. I'm a big St. Elmo's guy. You gotta get the St. Elmo's reservations. I'm sure those are already filled up. But man, remember, don't forget, these 18 days, you can't tell Jalen Rose nothing about Michigan football.
Nothing
about Michigan football. You're undefeated
Jim
for the
Harbaugh,
next 18 days.
Coach of the year. Hutchinson was in the Heisman race. Like, it's a beautiful time to be a Michigan Wolverine. Tom Brady still out there balling like the GOAT. I'm just saying, like, on every level. Desmond on game day looking crisp. See Brian Greasy. That's my quarterback on Monday Night Football. My guy C. Murda doing college and pro. Like, it's our turn, dog.
Well,
you see David Allen Greer out here winning
awards. All the Michigan alumni. All the Michigan alumni. David Allen Greer is the best. Jalen Allen Greer supports David Jacoby. You know what I mean? Like, every time I post something on social, David Allen Greer just comments on it. I'm like, oh my God, dude from Living Color thinks my kids are cute. Man, life is crazy. We will be back with another podcast tomorrow. Why is that, Jalen Anthony Rose?
I've been listening to that new Rose. A lot of Freddie Gibbs, a lot of Griselda. We're not done. We're not done. We are not done.